And maybe this is familiar to you, maybe not. We'll read this text, then I'll give you the story. All right, give you some info on it. Look at verse number 11, chapter 10, verse 11, and we'll read responsibly. I'll read 11, we'll read 12 together, then we'll jump down to verse 28. I'll read 28, and we'll read 29 together. All right? So Numbers chapter 10, verse 11, and it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Verse number 28. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forth. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. We'll stop with our reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, last Sunday, I preached a long message. Today, I don't think it'll be so long. I didn't realize that last Sunday was as long as it was till I looked at the clock and was shocked. Amen. But some of you was looking at the calendar. You was trying to figure out what day it was. But today, my thought is that it'll not necessarily be a long message. But looking at this text, our text, Israel has been camping at the foot of Mount Sinai for over a year. They are in what we know as the wilderness wanderings. God judged them, by the way, because of their disobedience. When God said, go in and conquer the land, 8 out of 10 said, we can't do it. It's impossible. And matter of fact, before you get real judgmental about that, I wonder what the percentage is, how many times out of 10 you say, I can't do what God said for me to do. Truth is, we don't believe like we think we would believe. So they didn't believe, and because of that unbelief, God said, I'm going to let you wander in this wilderness for 40 years. By the way, their argument was, if we go in there, our children are going to be prey to these enemies. God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you die in the wilderness. Your carcass is going to fall in the wilderness. And those children you said was going to be prey, they're going to be the conquerors. They're going to be the ones that get to go in and conquer the land. So those 40 years of wilderness wandering, they had, as they had crossed the Red Sea, got over into their journey into the promised land, they'd stopped off at Sinai. God gave them the law and all that goes along with that. But Moses and them, they came back and they're just circling around. They're just going around in circles. But for over a year, they have camped at the base of Mount Sinai or around the base of Mount Sinai, and now God says it's time to go. Matter of fact, you can tell that in verse number 11 where I started off reading. And by the way, this is how the book of Numbers starts. If you wanted to go back to Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, it starts off giving a date and time and that they're at Mount Sinai and God's speaking to them again. All right, verse 11. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year. What's that, the second year? The second year, they just started out. That this is the second month of the second year camped right there in that one spot. Now it's time for them to move on. And the cloud was taken up off the tabernacle of testimony. That was how God would lead his children through the wilderness. If you remember, God gave them the promise there'd be a fire, a pillar of fire by night so that they could see where they were going. And also, I believe, to give them heat because it gets very cold in the desert at night. And then there'd be a cloud in the day which would guide them. They could see where they're going, but it would also protect them from the heat that was there in that desert country of the day. So God good in his protection and provision and showing them the pathway through. Amen. But so we see in our text that the time has come for them to move. And so the cloud rises up and is getting ready to move, and they know to rise up, get everything together, and let's follow that cloud as God leads the way. Now, God spoke in verse 1 of chapter 10. God spoke to Moses, and down through verse 10, He tells him to make two silver trumpets. And he tells him what those trumpets are for. Those trumpets are to announce if they're to arise and go to war. Those trumpets are to announce if they are to arise and make their movement from the place of their camp. He gives a couple of different alarms that he says, first trumpet or the second trumpet, and he gives those alarms. And so here's where we're at. The children of Israel now have safely escaped Egyptian bondage, and they're headed to the promised land, and they're waiting for the trumpet to sound. Sounds familiar, don't it? They're waiting for the trumpet to sound so that they know it's time to move on from where they're parked. Amen. No doubt, as these armies gather together, he talks about that in verse number 28, these were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies. When God spoke in Numbers chapter number 1, and they're at Mount Sinai, again, it's in the second year, and God speaks to Moses and he says, number the children of Israel. In other words, take a poll. Get everybody lined up. Get them situated. Have a census. Have them in their place and in their position. And God shows his marvelous blessings that even in that wilderness, God has gathered together such a crew of people, and they gather together under their banners. They gather together in their tribes, and they're in their spot ready to march. And so when Moses sees that great cloud ready to march, no doubt his heart is filled with excitement and his heart is filled with rejoicing at the blessing of God upon his people. No doubt the people did the same. By the way, that's one of the reasons it's important for you to be in your place when we assemble together. Because you will encourage or discourage by your being there or lack of being there. But if you're in your place under the banner, ready to march forward for the glory of God, waiting for the trumpet to sound, praise God, so much the more as you see that day approaching. As we are gathered together that way, then we can bring excitement to the people of God and blessing to the people of God. So here they are with all this excitement going on, and his heart, he's waiting at that announcement. And at this moment, Moses turns to his brother-in-law. Look at verse 29. Moses said to Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So Raguel was his father-in-law. Hobab would be his brother-in-law then. He's the son. Here's what he says. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Underline these next four words. Come thou with us. And we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. I'm preaching on this thought this morning. Come, go with us. Come, go with us. Moses, at the moment of his heart swelling to see the people of Israel blessed, and the people of Israel rising up from such a long stay, and they're moving in the direction of the promised land. They're waiting for the trumpet to sound. Moses turns, no doubt with tender affection, towards a man that is his friend and a man who is part of his family. And he says to him, I want you to go with us. I don't want to leave you behind. I don't want you to miss out on the blessings. By the way, here's what he knew. Hobab was not a Jew. He's a Midianite. Hobab, although Moses married into his family, Hobab was not a part of that Israelite family. And yet Moses said, I want you to join up with us. I want you to become part of us. Amen. And by the way, that ought to be every one of our desires. We've got loved ones. We've got family members. We've got people that are not a part of the family of God. We're just waiting for the trumpet to sound. We may get excited thinking that it's got to be near. It's got to be about time for us to get out of here. Then we ought to look towards our loved ones and say, like he said, come, go with us. Go with us. Amen. And so that's what I'm thinking about in my message. Now, by way of introduction, let me just say this. Moses had already made his choice many years ago. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, you don't have to turn, I'll read it to you. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Moses had made his choice years before. Amen. No doubt there had been time. You know the case. Moses lived 40 years in Egypt, raised up by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in the school. The Bible said that he was so well-versed in knowledge and mighty in speech, even the Bible said, in the New Testament. Moses had the learning of Egypt, looked like he had the kingdom of Egypt in his hand offered to him. And Moses said, nope, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm an Israelite. And he fought with that Egyptian as he was fighting with the Israeli. And he killed that Egyptian. And Moses fled to the wilderness. And in that wilderness, wandering of his own, again, 40 years there, you remember. In those 40 years wandering in that Midian wilderness, he meets this girl, he marries this girl, he's in his father-in-law's house and working for his father-in-law, tending his father-in-law's sheep, the Bible says. Excuse me. And no doubt in that 40-year span of time, he has developed a close friendship with this man named Hobab. No doubt he has told him time and again about the God of Israel and the promises that God had made to the children of Israel. I don't doubt that he'd said to him, Hobab, God's going to visit the children of Israel one of these days and rescue them from Egyptian bondage. No doubt he told him, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I believe he's going to use me, that I'm going to be a deliverer of God's people. And when the burning bush spoke to him, Moses followed and went. By the way, by then Moses had been convinced God couldn't use him. Most of us, that's where we got to get. We can't get to say, whoa, boy, I could really do something for God. No, we got to get to the place to say, how in the world could I ever do anything for God? Amen. Then that's when God will use us. One man said this years ago, and it's right. Everything God ever made, he made out of nothing. And if you want to be something, you got to start with nothing. You got to let yourself be nothing that God can make something out of. I believe that's right. Amen. So no doubt Moses had told him, and he recognized their friendship. They've been there now for this over a year span of time at the base of Mount Sinai, which is where Moses saw the burning bush, which is where he was feeding his father-in-law's sheep, which is in the vicinity of where they all, no doubt where they lived. He recognized Hobab has a tendency not to go forward with us, but to go back to his old life. He recognizes that Hobab has something drawing him, something pulling him back to those maybe family ties that he has there at his home place. And so that's why he said there in verse number 29, come thou with us. Amen. And put it in our way of saying it, come, go with us. He pleads with Hobab to make his decision. By the way, what's his decision going to be based on? It's going to be based on the Word of God. He's got to trust that what Moses said, that God said, God really said. Right. By the way, you got a King James Bible? How do you know God said all that? You got to trust that Moses wrote down what God said for him to write down. Amen. It's faith. And my point is this. Moses couldn't show him the deliverance, although he had seen the deliverance out of Egypt. Moses couldn't show him that they were going into Canaan land. He had seen failures of those who claimed they believed but didn't actually believe. Hobab had seen those failures, and Moses said, listen, you don't trust in me and you don't trust in the hypocrites. You've got to trust in what God said. Amen. You've got to trust what God said, and it's got to be by faith. If you're going to make it to the promised land, you're going to have to go by faith. Amen. So I want to use this account in Scripture, if I can, try to encourage somebody to throw their lot in with us. Amen. To go with us on this journey to the promised land. And I think that Canaan land is more typically the victorious Christian life than it is talking about heaven. But I want to use it today in that idea. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound and we're headed to glory one of these days. Amen. And we want you to go with us. We don't want you to be left behind. Amen. We hope somebody will escape this world of darkness and death and depravity. Amen. They'll look to the light and to life and to a land beyond comparison. Amen. We sang about that. Amen. Well, she played that song in the offering, I've got a mansion. Thank God there's a wondrous place waiting on the believer. Amen. Here's some things to consider. I've got 4 points. And I'll tarry longest probably with the first one, than with the others. None of them be very long. So number one, this is proven, and they're not alliterated, but this is proven by the text. Moses asking Hobab to go with him. This is what it proves. Number one, this world is not our home. Amen. This world is not our home. Israel and Moses knew that they were on a physical journey, that they had not made it to the promised land as of yet. They were on a physical journey by faith. And we are on a spiritual journey by faith. You can see the comparison there. I think you can see the symbolism. This sinful world is much like Egypt with its bondage. Amen. Egypt with his bondage. I thought about this when we were singing. Great things he hath done. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And this is what I was thinking about. When Moses and the children of Israel escaped Egyptian bondage, by the way, they escaped by the blood of the Lamb. Right? They escaped by the blood of the Lamb. They escaped by believing God. They escaped by obeying God and moving when God said move. And while they're fleeing, they come up to the Red Sea. The enemy behind them, mountains, walls around them, the sea in front of them. God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then he said, go forward. And God opened the waters and brought them through on dry land. Amen. But then the Egyptians said, well, if they can do it, we can do it. And so they start going through on dry land, and God let the waters fall back in on them and drowned every one of them. Matter of fact, God took the wheels off their chariots, so it slowed them down and got them stuck in there. Amen. Thank God they hadn't invented four-wheel chariots at that time yet. But they got stuck under the waves, and they were drowned. But this is what I was thinking. When they got out on the other side, Miriam took up her harp, or timbrel, and she sang a song. And they started singing. And thank God we can sing. How come we can sing? Because those sins that held us bondage are no longer there. God has destroyed them. Amen. Amen. That alcohol that held you bondage, those drugs that held you bondage, that pornography that held you bondage, God is able to destroy that and give you a new life in Christ. Amen. And start you out on a journey towards the promised land. This world's not our home. So I see the symbolism of Egypt, Egyptian bondage, the sinful life. But I also see the wanderings in the wilderness, the troubles and the trials and the temptations we go through. Between escaping Egypt and getting to where we're going for the glory of God, I believe a personal relationship with God is what the promised land represents. Walking with God, talking with God, enjoying the presence of God. That's what the Israelites and Moses were marching towards. Now, at this time that we're reading about in Egypt's wanderings, they have camped for over a year at the base of Mount Sinai. But they, listen to me, they did not set their tent stakes too deeply. They knew that at any moment they could be moving out. Amen. They didn't count that as home. They knew that wasn't home. They knew they were on their journey to home, but they're not home yet. Amen. That's what we got to remember. This world, don't let your tent stakes get driven too deep in this world. Don't get too enamored with this world. Don't get too entrapped in this world. This world's not our home. We're traveling on. Amen. So, in this world we see by everything we see by sight. But the eye of faith has caught a glimpse of a better land. Amen. And we're journeying by faith to that better land. Here's what Jesus said, John 14:2-3. You know these verses well. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Amen. What a promise that is. But that promise is not to everybody. Not everybody's going to the promised land. Just like not everybody at Mount Sinai, at the base of Mount Sinai, was going to journey towards the promised land. Hobab's getting ready to head and go back. Matter of fact, he does. Look at verse number 30. Hobab answers him, and he said unto him, I will not go. Some of the saddest words in the Old Testament right there. I can't help but think of Ruth cleaving to her mother-in-law, Naomi, but Orpah turning and going back. He said, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. My own land. Oh, it'd be so sad to settle for this world. Amen. There's a song we used to sing. The Hayes family sang it. They said, I'd never miss heaven for the world. So many people that are selling out too cheap. Amen. They're selling their soul for possessions in this world. And they're selling out too cheap. So Moses said to Hobab, we're on a journey. Look at verse 29 again. I'll jump down in the middle of it. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Amen. Let me make two applications about that, and then I'll move on to my next point. First of all, we should look upon this world with a traveler's eye. We're just passing through. This is not home. Amen. There is nothing in this world that is of value in comparison to where we're going. Amen. Amen. Secondly, another application of this is that we need not mourn too deeply those that have already passed on and made it to that promised land. They're not missing out. We're the ones missing out. Amen. They're blessed of the Lord to be in a better place. Amen. And really, to be honest with you, we ought to learn to envy them rather than mourn them. Amen. So first of all, it says to me that this world is not our home. Secondly, this says to us that our real home is nearer every step of the way. Amen. Our real home is getting nearer every step of the way. You know what's true with those children of Israel? Every step they took was going to draw them closer to the promised land. I recognize they went around in circles. I recognize that they were not always making progress. It looks like some of the time there was digress as they were going along rather than progress. But every day was a day closer. Every year was a year closer. Are you following me? Every moment that ticked by was a moment getting them closer to that promised land. Amen. It was going to be a long wilderness journey, but God was faithfully leading them along. Brother Jacob told about that in Sunday school this morning. God was faithfully leading them along, giving them the manna when they needed it. Amen. Giving them the water when they needed it. Giving them their clothing and their shoes and all that went along. God was providing everything for them. Even though this world was not their home, God was providing for them in this world. But they had to recognize I'm getting closer to home. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. When the Lord gave me this thought and I was putting together these notes, I was rejoicing and thinking about the fact we're getting closer to home. We're closer home now than we were yesterday, as the song says. Amen. We're getting closer to our eternal home. But let me ask you this. If that's true, if we're getting closer, are we more prepared? Is our heart getting more ready for heaven? Think about that. I think that's a practical thought for us to think about. If every day is getting us closer to glory, if every step's drawing us closer home, then are we actually getting more prepared to see Jesus than we were yesterday? Amen. Here's my third point. This trip that we're on is important to believers. My point is this. Israel's journey through the wilderness took a long time, but they were careful about it. They were very concerned about their travel. In other words, they didn't care much for anything else. If they came upon a spot of green grass, they didn't say, well, let's settle down here. Let's plant some seed here. Let's reap a harvest. No, they said, this is important to me. We got to keep moving. We got to keep moving. When they came to the wells of water, when they came to the palm tree, you remember all those stories about how God led them along and let them find these wonderful places, but they knew this is nothing in comparison to where I'm going. Amen. We got to, listen, I say we ought to live carefully in this life. Amen. Contrary to what it looks like by looking at me, I believe you ought to take care of your body. Amen. By the way, I'll just plug this. I heard just this week that Oprah Winfrey came out and said that she has discovered that you're not fat because you overeat. But you're fat because you got a obesity gene. I knew years ago when they said that a man's not a drunk because of what he drinks. He can't help it. It's just what's in his genes. That a man is not a pervert because of the choices he makes in the sexual thing. That it's just in his genes. I knew it wouldn't be long. They'd make an excuse for everything. Oh yeah. Oh, hey, officer, I wasn't responsible for speeding. It was in my genes. That is laughable. Right? And I read where RFK Jr. sent Oprah back a text, and he said, no, Oprah, you're fat because of what you eat. Amen. Now, she was on the board of Weight Watchers up to 2024. She stepped down because she got on Ozempic, and now she's advertising for them. Her point is this. She said, just give me another pill. Just give me let me keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm not to blame. Listen, we're to blame for a whole lot of what we do. I didn't mean to get off on that, but we are to blame. Amen. Amen. I'm glad they can give you some medicine to help some things, but let me just tell you something. Be sure your sin finds you out, whatever that is. Whatever that is. And we're responsible for what we do. So I'll say I am an advocate. I think we'll take care of everybody. Listen, I'm not for tree hugging, but I don't think you ought to throw garbage out on the side of the road. Right. This planet is not going to last forever. I understand that. And I really don't believe we've got the ability to blow it up. I know we got all them bombs and everything, but I believe God's the one's going to burn this thing one of these days. Amen. But at the same time, I think we'll take care of what God's given us. I think y'all take care of your house. I think y'all take care of your automobile. I think y'all take care of your children. I mean, I could just run a lot of rabbits there. But this ain't all there is. In the midst of all those concerns, health concerns, home concerns, family concerns, monetary, in the midst of all those concerns, don't ever forget this is just a journey. We're getting out of here one of these days. One of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. I don't care how many scoffers they are. They can say, where is the promise of His coming? Where is the promise of His coming? But from the beginning, we've believed it. We've heard all this. We've heard it all our life. On and on and on they can go. They can keep saying that, and they will keep saying that. And idiots are going to come up and set a date and say, I know what day. They don't nobody know what day. But I'm telling you something. The trumpet is going to sound, and we're getting out of here. Don't let anybody fool you into believing we ain't. We're going to get out of here one of these days. Amen. One of these days, he that shall come will come and shall not tarry. Amen. But here's what I think about. In this world, we got to be careful to remember we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. Don't drive our tent stakes too deeply. I've said that already. We got to keep moving. Don't let the things of this world grab on to you. I wrote some of those down. Sports. Movies, fashions, politics, all those things and many more try to get a grip on us that we might lose sight of our journey. Amen. I'm not saying you can't play a sport, play a game, but remember it's a game. It's not life. I'm not saying you can't keep up with politics. I want to know what's going on over there. Right? And some of that, we need to know, but don't get overwhelmed with it. Remember, we're pulling out of here one of these days. Amen. We're traveling on. Some people get distracted by this world and they lose rewards because of their distraction. Some people, because of their distraction, lose their own children and family because of their distractions. Here'd be a good place to quote our Lord. Second shortest verse in the Bible. Here's what Jesus said. Remember Lot's wife. That's all he said about it. But you know what he's talking about, don't you? What was it about Lot's wife? God told him, don't look back. Escape. Flee from the city. What'd she do? She looked back. I don't think she just glanced back to see what was happening. I think she looked back with longing. She hated to leave all that behind. Listen, don't let this world get a hold on you. Keep your eyes set on heaven. Amen. Amen. Keep looking forward. Keep moving forward. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, here's my last point. Number four. And it's right in our text. All true believers wish others to journey along with us. Verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Here's those underlined words that I put. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Moses recognized Hobab as a friend. They'd been friends for years in that land of Midian. Amen. Moses not only saw him as a friend, he saw him as family. And Moses had a desire for Hobab to go with him. No doubt he'd told him numerous times what was going on and what to expect. But here it is, it's time to make a choice. The trumpet's about to sound. And Moses wants to say one last time to Hobab, come go with us. How about the people you work with? Your co-workers. How about your family that may live near you? Or maybe they're far away. How about friends in this life that you know they're not ready? Oh, preacher, I've told them, maybe you have, but the trumpet's about to sound. Maybe you ought to tell them again. Are you following me? Maybe you ought to get a burden. Maybe you ought to get concerned and go to them as I believe Moses did with Hobab. I don't know if Moses was weeping when he said it, but perhaps he was. Moses had feeling in his heart, no doubt, for this man who was a friend, who was family, and he said, come go with us. Amen. We ought to have a burden. We ought to long for others to come and go with us. How can we say we love them if we don't ask them to go with us? Amen. What are we going to do? We're going to get to heaven. You know, there's songs, Must I Go an Empty Handed. Mrs. Hall used to sing that. It's in our church book. Songs like this song that says, I wish I had given him more. When we face the Lord at judgment, and Brother Hinkle Little, he was an old pastor when I was a boy, lived in Taylorsville, North Carolina. He wrote the song, Inspirations Made It Famous, Please Search the Book Again. I thought my name was there. When we get to the judgment seat, praise God, we're in glory. Praise God, we're saved from this world of sin. Praise God, we've made it to heaven. But we get not just to the judgment seat. We get to the great white throne where we're going to be with him watching all the lost as they're judged that final judgment. And by the way, every one of them is going to be cast into hell. Every one of them. Into the lake of fire. Every one of them. And we're standing there with our Lord as witnesses. And somebody says, I thought you was my friend. Why didn't you tell me? Or how about this? Why didn't you tell me more convincingly? Why didn't you have a burden? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to have them come with a song. I just ask the question, are you headed to the promised land? Are you headed there yourself? If you are you concerned about others going? What are you doing about that concern? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you witnessing? Are you working towards trying to encourage them to come and go with us? Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. It's convicting to me, Lord. I trust it's convicting to others. Lord, help us to have a burden. I saw it there in Moses. And I want to have a burden, Lord, that sinners could go with us. I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound, but it can't be long. We're on a journey, and even if the trumpet don't sound and take us out in the rapture, death is on our trail. And we've seen it so near lately. All around us, just all around us, death is on our trail. And for some, it's already too late. For others, it's going to be too late. Help us, Lord, to have a burden to tell them, to plead with them, to beg them, to ask them, come, go with us. Father, I pray work in this invitation according to thy will. Help you people, and then help sinners. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.